Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike. Welcome to Look Up. And we are looking forward to, as always, what the Lord's going to do because, you know, we're a live call-in show, and we never quite know who's going to be listening, who's going to be calling in, who's going to be texting us. There's all different ways people interact with us. And sometimes, I think 2 days ago, we had the whole show just change direction because of a text. Somebody texted and asked a question. We get off on it. And you know what? I want to encourage
you. That was a good question,
No,
though.
Yeah, it was about
it ended
financial
up being a
accountability.
Good show.
Right. And no, I'm not complaining at all.
Yeah.
I'm just saying we count on these sorts of things that the Lord uses them to direct our interaction, to direct what the topic will be. We always come in with an idea of what we want to talk about, but I tell you what, folks, one phone call, one text can turn the direction of our conversation, and I take it as from the Lord. You know, I think that there's times the listeners have a need or a question or something they're confused about, and let's explore it together. So anyway, Linda's going to tell you how you can interact with us because we are in the studio today live, and there's several ways that you can interact with us. And Linda, you could tell them all about it.
Hi, everybody. Good to be back with you again. We would love for you to call us, okay? That's just so helpful. We haven't had a caller in a while, so give us a call. 208-377-3790. Again, that's 208-377-3790. You can also send a text message to our phone, which I just had one come in. I'll have to check it in a second. I hear it buzzing down here. And that number is 208-891-2635. That'll send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, and I got it sitting right next to me here. If you're out there in Facebook Live land and you have a question, comment, something like that, go ahead and you can put that in the comments, and we keep an eye on those, and we respond appropriately.
Okay, now what we're going to talk about today, we're getting back on the topic of Christ's vision for his church. And I must admit, where this comes from is every year, I believe it's important that I renew the congregation and remind them. Because, you know, each year there's new people who've joined us, and sometimes the regulars have forgotten. And so I'd like to go over what are the visions and priorities of Calvary Chapel of Eagle. Now, if you know me very much, if you've been listening for a while, or maybe you attend Calvary Eagle, you realize that I'm not one of these guys who changes the vision every year and I have a different direction. Okay, we did this that last year, and this year we're going to do that. I really believe that God's vision for the church doesn't change, and the Lord's plan, you know, just like the Lord's plan of salvation, it doesn't change. The Lord's plan for the church doesn't change. And so what I typically do is go over the vision and make sure that our body, we're all on the same page, the body of Christ, that we understand what God's priorities are for us and what's their pastor's vision. And so therefore, what are the priorities of the church? Again, I sum it up regularly. Here it is again. It's upreach, inreach, outreach. Number one, you keep your eyes on the Lord. When you gather as a church, the whole purpose of the church are encompassed in these three things: upreach, inreach, outreach. Number one, you need to know the Lord. You need to love the Lord. You need to worship the Lord and serve the Lord. We gather together so that we can, we study the Bible together so we could know him better, that we might love him properly, and that we might serve him accordingly. And then, of course, in the worship service, it's a worship service. When the body of Christ gathers, we gather to worship the Lord. So really, the first and first priority above all, everything else is to be God-focused. Now, we went over this. We talked about it in several different angles. I'm not going to review the whole thing here. The next thing is inreach, which I really believe that is scriptural. I used to think when I first got saved that the important thing is getting other people saved, and I went right to outreach. That is important, but that's third place, okay? Upreach is first. Inreach is the body of Christ ministering to one another, building itself up in love. As a matter of fact, I should look it up. When I did a little devotional today on Facebook, and I actually talked a little bit about this. And what was the verse I used for inreach? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, that says, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things to him who is head, Christ, from whom the whole body, meaning the body of Christ, the church universal, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. That means every part of the body is helping every other part of the body according to the effective working by which every part does its share. See, that's really biblical. I know I'm interrupting myself here and reading the scripture, but I want you to know this inreach thing, it's a biblical priority right out of the New Testament. Let me continue reading. And then it says, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, here's something a lot of people don't get. One of the reasons for the church is to edify itself or to build the members of the body of Christ up in love. And so if you're going to a church and you don't know anybody and nobody pays attention to you and you're not getting blessed and getting closer to others, something's wrong. You got to get that fixed, okay? Maybe go talk to your pastor, say, how can we fix this? And you can be a part of the solution. I don't believe you automatically just leave every church when there's a problem. See if you can be a part of the solution, okay? And so I really believe inreach is very biblical, and it's a picture of, my goodness, it's, if the body of Christ is a picture of, the Bible always talks about the body of Christ and every, you know, there's allegories of the eye. If the whole body were the eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were the ear, where would the speaking be? And, throughout the scriptures, we're compared to, the body of Christ is compared to a human body. Do you know that your body has so many things working together to try to heal itself when it's sick, to try to build muscle when you need strength? I mean, your body isn't just for everything outside of itself. The body works for itself to take care of itself, to build itself up, to make itself healthy, to heal itself, and on and on. So I do believe that this is God's biblical priorities for the church. First, it's the Lord, upreach. Second, it's for the body of Christ, the church in general. And then finally, it's outreach. Once you've got a healthy view of God and a healthy attitude and actions to build up the body of Christ, then you could start adding to the church. I always thought it was kind of odd when I would meet someone from a church or I'd see a church that they're all about outreach, but they're neglecting the other two. And I feel like, especially I've seen churches that are quite carnal and they're not really spiritual, and yet they're trying to get people saved and then recruit them into their church. And my fear is the new people coming into the church are going to be just like you, just like the people who are carnal and they're not very God-focused and they're not very spiritually minded and they're not so much building one another up. It's all about go recruit members and bring them in. You know what I mean? Okay, all that to say, That's why I think these are God's three priorities. And, of course, we're going to talk about each one. Now, I'm doing all the talking, hon, and please jump in there because okay. I've been hogging it right now, okay? Let's see. One of the verses that we touched on was 1 Corinthians 15:58 that says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so it's really important that one of the things to apply to all three of these is that we need to be consistent, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in God's work. And I really believe that one of the problems in the body of Christ, one of the problems in the church today, is that the members are on again, off again. I go to church when it's not football season, or I go to church until it's hunting season or whatever. Now, I understand there's legitimate reasons to take a break, and there's things in your life. We have members in our church who say, if I don't go hunt, then there's no food on the table. We got people in our church.
And sometimes you just need a break.
Yeah.
We take them.
Yeah, we do. We certainly do. But there is a steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord attitude that believers need to have. I used to go to church, but I'm on hiatus for the last 3 months or the last 3 years. No, you don't do that. There is, again, let me read that again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, I think one of the things I talked about when we're talking about upreach is worship. And we did kind of touch on this. We ran out of time Sunday morning because right now I'm in the middle of the series. I talked about Upreach Sunday, and I'll be talking about InReach this Sunday. But I really believe there's a saying that a friend of mine who was a worship leader when we both used to do worship back in California, and he would always say that obedience is the highest form of worship. I really like that. Because some people are really into the singing part, not everybody, but some people are into the singing part. Some people are more emotional than others. They love to bounce and raise their hands in the air and do a little jig, you know, and I think that's okay. I think we should be worshiping Him with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. But if you do all that emotional worshiping and raise your hand to the Lord and give Him praise, but you're not living for the Lord, it's just all a bunch of noise tooting your horn when you're in church, something's wrong. As a matter of fact, my pastor in California used to say, it's not how high you jump, it's how straight you walk when you come down. I like that because it's walking the walk, not just talking the talk. So that saying, you could steal it if you want. You could make a bumper sticker, put it on your car if you want. Obedience is the highest form of worship. So if you want to be active in upreach in your life. Before we get into this inreach thing, I want to encourage you, number one, remove anything that's standing between you and the Lord. And that means repentance from sin. And sometimes there's sins, you know, there's sins of commission that you commit, and there's sins of omission, that you're negligent of things in your life. You're not obeying things He's telling you to do. One of my favorite verses in James, I think it's James 1:27, that says, this is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained or unpolluted from the word. That's why it's really important to do both. If you want to have pure religion, if you want to have real religion before God, there's more sides than two probably, but there's two that James mentions. Number one, it's visiting orphans and widows in their distress, meaning do good for those who can't do good for themselves. Help the helpless, feed the hungry, you know, do what you can for the poor, reaching out to those who are suffering and hurting and less than you. I don't mean less than you. I mean that you have to stoop down and help those who are hurting more than you are. Okay. So number one, it's what you do for the Lord is pure religion. And number two, visiting orphans. The second part is, keeping yourself unpolluted or unstained by the world. And that means don't live in sin, okay? Some people do all one and not the other. Some people will be all into what they don't do, but not much about doing good, okay? So anyway, that's something to pass along to you.
The one thing that always got me with that when you're talking about the omission, in James 4:17, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Okay? When the Lord speaks to your heart and He puts something on your heart to do, and He'll do that with His Spirit so gently, there'll be times there's somebody you need to go talk to. You need to make
right,
that phone call.
Right.
You need to go visit. Something you
That's
need
right.
to do. Okay? Yeah. And you say, I'm too busy. Tomorrow. I'm too lazy. I don't feel like it. Because it gets in the way of your own personal comforts. It interferes with your plans that you have for yourself. It says, when you know to do good and you don't do it, to him it's sin. It's sin when you're not obedient to that prompting of the Holy Spirit, because our lives are supposed to be 100% surrendered to Him. And that means He can kind of, at any time, just come in and say, oh, Linda, I know this isn't convenient for you, but this is what I want you to do. One of the things that I compare it with is when you have a baby. You'd love to sleep through the night when you have a baby. But yeah. When that baby cries, you know what? You get up, you run, you do whatever it is. But we would do that for a baby, but we would neglect that when the Spirit of the Lord speaks to our hearts. It usually isn't the most convenient thing, you know, to do at the time. So I don't know. There's another scripture that hits me with mm-hmm. the things you don't do mm-hmm. that you really should be doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So, folks, one of the things we want to get across to you, if you want to have the proper priorities of God in your life, you know, we've already dealt with a lot of the upreach, but part of upreach is just, you know, all of your life, you belong to Him. You've been bought with a price. And the way you spend your time, the way you spend your money, do you make time for Him to seek the Lord? You remember one of the things we talked about is in Exodus 33 that Moses built a tabernacle of meeting outside the camp, and anyone who wanted to go and meet with the Lord could go outside the camp and meet the Lord in that tabernacle of meeting. And yet it doesn't say how many people go. We don't know. But my guess is from being a pastor for many years, being a Christian for many more years, I think that the prayer meetings are usually the least attended of all church meetings.
Yeah.
And not that it all takes place in the prayer meeting. It could take place at home when you just stay home and seek the Lord. I know quite often when I was on staff at my last church before we started Eagle, my pastor used to set us out to go pray, and he'd say, just find a solitary place. Find a place up in the mountains or up in the hills or go on a hike. And to me, I'd get distracted. When I'd go on a hike up in the woods or up in the foothills, I'd be distracted, and I'd be too busy about trailblazing. But what worked best for me is there was a couple other things I did. Sometimes a cemetery did it for me, where I'd go and I'd just sit at a cemetery because it put life in perspective. But usually what I do is I would just go home and go to my backyard or sit on my front porch. I mean, it's a quiet neighborhood, and I'd be able to read the Word of God, and pray. And you could do that at home. All this to say is you don't have to go far. But in the case in Exodus 33, they had to leave the camp because God was kind of punishing them and removed His presence from the camp. And if they wanted to meet with God, they had to go outside the camp, if you remember the story. So
we have a question.
Okay.
I thought you may want to tackle here, because I think it kind of has to do with what I was talking about. How do you objectively differentiate between the prompting of the Holy Spirit and your own mental impressions and internal monologues?
Oh, that's good.
No, that's good. That's a really good question.
Yeah.
It's a really good question.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to start out just being totally honest with you here, is you don't always know. But you should test it, okay? There's times I feel like the Lord's telling me to do something, and I'm not sure if this is the Lord or not. You know, if it's not too crazy, then try it and see what the Lord does. You know what I mean? I mean, if you feel like, I think the Lord wants me to witness to that person over there, and you think, well, it may not be the Lord, it might just be my own heart. Look, it's never bad to witness, okay?
Yeah.
It's never wrong to give somebody a track, a gospel track, or to share Jesus with somebody. Some things are like no-brainers. I think the Lord maybe wants me to give this person some money because they're poor and hungry. And you know, come on, you don't need a whole lot of discernment to know that I can't go wrong with this one. Okay, so let me just start with that. You don't always know. There's times it's more positive than others. But I think that when the inclination that you're feeling, when the nudging that you're feeling is to do something good, to do something biblical, to do something edifying, that's going to help others, that's going to point others to Jesus, I think you should always do it, because you can't go wrong. It's not a stupid thing to do. And many times you won't know till after it's over with. And, you know, it's funny. The other day I was making phone calls, and I called a brother who had visited our church and just decided to call him. And in our conversation, he broke down crying. He says, your call was perfect timing. And you know what? I've been putting off making that phone call because I had other things going.
You had to wait for the timing. No.
No, the thing is, you know what? I can't act super spiritual like, well, I knew it wasn't God's time. You know, the fact of the matter is I kept getting caught up with other things. And then I finally made the phone call, and God worked it out. See, God's bigger than your inclinations and the promptings of your heart. And there's times you don't really know if it's the Lord's leading, but he gets his way. If you're a guy or a gal who really want to live for the Lord and you really want to do God's will and you're always open to his leading and you're not always sure if this is a leading or not or if it's your own inclination, he'll use you and he'll get away. He'll find a way to use you. I think Linda's got something she wants to add to that.
Oh, I do. I have fun with this topic. because once you practice listening to the Spirit of the Lord, you learn to recognize it.
That's true.
But let me tell you, one of the clues that I've got is if out of nowhere, and many times it's when we stop, slow down, and have our minds a little bit clear that God can speak to us, okay? But all of a sudden, just kind of out of nowhere, somebody comes to mind that you haven't thought of. There's nothing around you that should have prompted you to think about that person. Like, oh, I seen somebody on TV that reminded me of so-and-so. Not that. I'm just talking out of nowhere. This person just all of a sudden pops in your mind. I have learned, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you did that. First thing I'll do is pray for them. First thing I'll do is pray for them. Next, it's like, okay, do I need to send a text message? Do I need to call? What do I need to do here? And I'll tell you, every time I have and I followed through on that, it's never been wrong. It's never been wrong when the Lord puts somebody on my heart to reach out to one way or another or just pray for them. And I'll tell you, in the reverse, there are a couple people, one of them being my pastor's wife back in California. When there is a major disaster going on in my life, this woman will email me that morning and say, Linda, what is going on? I couldn't sleep all night. The Lord kept putting you so heavy on my heart. And I would tell her, I mean, this is what happened. I have a dear friend, Donna, and the same thing. She hadn't contacted me for so long. And when Tawny took her life that next morning, she just said the same thing. Linda, I couldn't sleep. What is going on? And when I told her, and she was there for me, she brought food over for us. She just was the biggest comfort, though she goes to a different church and darn, I'm sad about it. But you know what? That's okay. She is my friend and we have united hearts. And the Lord knows she loves me and she will follow up on it. So when the Lord kind of prompts you, that's a definite thing. And when you follow through, you see, oh my gosh, that was of the Lord. I needed to reach out to this person and I didn't even know it, but the Lord put it in my heart. It's so easy to recognize it the next time. And if it's ever, gee, should I reach out to this person or not? If there's a question, do it. It never hurts to reach out to someone. If you reach out to someone, hi, you've been on my heart lately. Is everything okay? And they write back, okay. Then you just write back, praise the Lord. I'm so happy. I've been praying for you. It's good. But most of the time, whenever the Lord does that, there is something on that he wants to deal with. Sometimes it could be somebody, you're in the market, you're in Walmart, and the Lord's just saying, say something nice to that person next to you. Help that person next to you. Oh, poor little old men, when they come shopping and their wives are homesick and they don't know what to get them, just that kindness of helping them, that will never turn sour. That will never be a bad thing to offer to help someone like that. And like Mike said, you know somebody's in need. The Lord's kind of saying, maybe you should share. And you're kind of thinking, should I not? What is it going to hurt you to take them a bag of food if you know that they're hurting financially? It won't hurt you whatsoever, whether that was the good intent of your heart because the Lord's making you a good person, or whether that was the Spirit saying, they need food, why don't you go take care of it? Either way, it's a really good thing. Now, the Holy Spirit will never tell you to sin.
Yeah.
Right. The Holy Spirit will never tell you to get in somebody's face and argue with them. Okay? You know, so you see the difference there? When the Holy Spirit's going to tell us to do something, it is usually going to turn around, be a blessing to another person. Right. I hope that helps.
Right. Very good. Well, you know, I'm looking at some of the remarks on Facebook here, and High Boy says this: the more you're in God's word and the more you're in prayer, and when you listen and are obedient, the more you will know the Holy Spirit will lead you.
Yes.
And I appreciate that. And that reminded me of a verse that I want to share with you that the Lord showed me many years ago when I used to complain that I didn't feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit enough. You know, there's times I do, and there's times you could go for a period of time and go, I really haven't felt a nudge for a while, yeah. You know. Well, there's a scripture in Psalm 32:9 says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come to you. That's Psalm 32:9. And what that means, and what the Lord is saying there, is that, you know, you don't need to always be told what to do. Do I need to put a bit in your mouth and put a saddle on you and ride you like a horse or a mule? Do I have to tell you, all right, turn this way, whoa, stop, go, turn to the right, turn to the left? God is saying, don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, meaning if you understand the word, just like High Boy said in the Facebook post, you know the word of God, you will have understanding of what the will of God is. You know the word of God, you'll know the will of God. And it's, you know, the horse or the mule have no understanding, and they've got to be harnessed with a bit and a bridle. You don't just tell your horse, okay, horse, we're going to be going to grandma's house today, and you just kind of don't pay attention the rest of the time, and the horse is going to take you there. It's not Uber. It's not Lyft. That horse needs to be steered. God doesn't want his people to always have to be steered by feelings, by nudges, by promptings. There are times he will do that. But I believe for the majority of times, God wants you to know his word, that you might know his will, that you might live according to the will of God. And here's the thing. That means when temptation comes your way, when there is a sin that you're being tempted with, you don't have to ask the Lord, do you want me to do that or not? You know God's word and you know his will, and you're not going to live in sin. You know to turn from sin, because I'll tell you something, when it comes to sin and many fleshy impulses that are wrong, those nudgings are strong. Your flesh, sometimes you can mistake the flesh from the spirit just because the emotions take over. Oh, this is it. This is what I got to do. And it's really all the flesh.
And sin, he will always provide a way out.
Right. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that there's no temptation other than that which is common to man. And God is faithful that with every temptation, he'll make a way of escape. So again, let me read that verse to you again, especially for that one who texted in that question. How do you know the difference between the nudging of the Holy Spirit and the promptings of your flesh? Hopefully we gave you lots of things to think about.
We did.
But I do believe that that Psalm 32:9 is really important. Listen to it again. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. And I think that's how the Lord wants us to be. Is that what it's going to take for you to get near God? He's got to put a rope around your neck and pull you in. He's got to put a harness or a saddle. Look, you need to seek the Lord and know his word, and you'll be just fine. Anyway, I'm repeating myself now. So we're going to continue now in this topic of, we're going to move to inReach. I don't know if we spoke about inReach yet. But again, this is from a series we're talking about on Sunday morning. And part of the my goal as a pastor, it's not all about statistics and numbers and monetary goals or materialistic. It's funny, but it is about people. We're going to talk about that when we come back, but we do need to take a 60-second station break, and then we'll talk a little bit about that.
Are you going to count that off for us, 60
yeah,
seconds?
Yeah, 69, 60, 59, 15. Okay, we'll be right back.
And then watch what Jesus does. You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise, radio you can believe in. Stay tuned. Mike and Linda will be right back. Look Up was recently extended to a full hour from 2:30 to 3:30 every Monday through Friday. Mike and Linda want to help you apply God's Word to your everyday life. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, you can ask questions about what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. If you would like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now here's Mike and Linda.
Hello, everybody. We are back. You know what? I wanted to say one more thing about the leading of the Spirit before we move on to InReach. And I wholeheartedly believe that God has divine appointments each and every day for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. That every day there is something He has planned for us to do. But it is up to us whether we are going to listen and actually do it, okay? There's so many times we get so busy, so running around, and it doesn't have to be this big miraculous thing, go stand out on the street corner every day and preach the gospel. It could be as simple as the Lord nudging you, why don't you send somebody a text? They just need some encouragement today. Why don't you pray for somebody? And He'll put that on your heart.
Right.
That can be the divine appointment. Some of us have a much more public platform. Like, we look at us. We're sitting on the radio right now on Facebook Live, and who knows where this is going to go. We have a higher platform. People that are home alone, people that are sick, they can be such prayer warriors. And their divine appointment for that day can be sitting down and praying for people. And if you're one of them, I hope we're on your prayer list, because those prayers are the precious prayers that mean so much, because that's your only ministry you've got, is lifting people up in prayer. We're being spread all over the place, okay? But with that one, if that's your divine appointment, is to spend time lifting up specific people, praise the Lord. But every day, there should be something that the Lord is showing you to do. And He will speak to your heart. And especially, oh man, if you're in prayer, He will speak to your heart. He will guide your prayers. He will direct you. And while you're spending time praying for someone, if He nudges your heart, hey, why don't you pick up the phone? Stop prayer right then and pick up the phone. It's okay. It can't be, oh, well, I'll pick up the phone in a half hour because I'm praying right now. Or I'm in the middle of my Bible study. Sometimes when you're doing Bible study, you read a scripture, the Lord will speak to you. Stop and contact this person right now. Stop and do it right then. It's okay to put that good thing aside when the Spirit has nudged you to do an even better thing. There may be an urgency to it. Sometimes there really is. Sometimes when somebody's down or depressed, there is nothing like getting a message. I can tell you, we had a couple things this week that rocked our boat a little bit, and we're kind of feeling depressed and trying not to. And then you get a phone call from somebody telling us how much they love us and how much we blessed them. You know, I'm not tooting our own horn. I'm just saying that was somebody listening to the Spirit of the Lord, because we really needed some encouragement right then. And that same morning, somebody had handed me a card on Sunday, and it was in my purse. And on that day, I opened and I read it, and I thought, okay, Lord, when I'm feeling about an inch big and worthless, You show me that we are being used by You and we're touching people's lives. And that just, it builds us up so much. The Lord knows what to do. Those little cards that people hand out to people or send them in the mail, they mean everything. They mean everything, because I think the Lord picks the exact timing when they arrive at your house, because they build you up. So I just wanted to add that.
No, that's good. Thanks, hon. That's good. You know, the other day I was looking at some of my notes for And I tonight is my study night. Friday nights, I try to get together, sit down, I'll put together the notes for my Sunday morning message. And it gives me time to sleep on it, get up Saturday morning, look at it again before I finally preach it Sunday morning. And some of these notes here, it kind of hit me in an odd way. I'll probably change some things, but it says that my vision is not numbers or statistics, but a spiritual focus. That's true. My goals aren't monetary, materialistic, fundraising, or a numbers game. That's true. But I have to admit, I'm a human being that, you know, when the numbers climb or go down, it, you know, it still kind of affects me. And, you know, particularly, like I said before the break, is it's not about numbers, but it is about people. And when people plug into the fellowship and we get to know them and love them, it always hurts when they leave. Some move away, some move on for different reasons. And you know what? It's funny. I was telling my brother the other day, because my brother's a pastor and he's been in ministry almost as long as I have. And we talk about these things. I says, you know, I never get used to that. I never get used to when somebody moves away. It's a little easier when they move away to be with the kids and grandkids. But sometimes
you understand it, but yeah, it still hurts like crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it hurts. It hurts. And so even though I think church isn't all about numbers and statistics and money and all that, pastors still feel it. Well, when the tithing drops or when the attendance drops, because it makes you go, okay, am I doing something wrong, or am I doing what you want me to do?
We know better than to take it personal, right? But we do, don't we?
Right.
We're human. I'm sorry, we really are, and it is something we know not to take any of these things personal. But then you do. The first question you always ask: what did I do? I am the worst at asking
that. Sometimes people leave the church because you offend them, you know.
Well, yeah.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying, you know.
But yeah, that has happened. So
yeah, it happens.
With both of us.
I can be pretty offensive, yeah. Okay, well, listen, going down my little list here, because I was looking at some of the bullet points I have, is that my philosophy of ministry is to be lived out in the members of the body of Christ at Calvary Chapel of Eagle. Now, this should be in every church, again, I'll remind you. But ministry isn't just what happens at the podium and at the pulpit or at the music bench, the band. I think people, they miss this. They think ministry is what the Sunday school teacher is doing, or what the worship leader is doing, or what the pastor is doing, but it has nothing to do with me. Folks, if you are a Christian, you are in the ministry. That's one of the things I want to really get across to our folks as we review our Calvary Chapel of Eagle vision. One of the things I always like to say is be a doer, not a pewer. Of course, it made more sense when we were in a church that had pews. You know, right now, we're in a gym. And
with chairs, but they get the idea.
Yeah, be a doer, not a folding chair. Yeah, anyway. So the important thing is that people need to realize, Christians need to realize, we are all in ministry, and we're all in this together. As a matter of fact, one of the things that Linda and I pray on a regular basis, and we're trying to get the rest of the body to pray, Lord, multiply ministry. And what that means is, it's not just, Lord, let them all come and hear me preach or teach. Lord, let everybody come and listen to the worship band and be blessed by the worship team or whatever. You know, I could go through all the different people who are in the ministry. You need to realize, my friend, if you're saved, you are in the ministry. And when you go to church, you want to go to church with that in mind, armed with the readiness to minister. When you go to church, you should say, Lord, who do you want me to bless? Who do you want to bless through me today? Yes, what do you want to say to me today? Yes, we are going to the gathering of the fellowship at church to receive from the Lord, but we're also going to give to the Lord and to give to the Lord's people. And so when we go to church, if you're going to be spiritually mature, one of the things that you want to do is you want to say, Lord, use me today. I want to go to church and I want to be able to be used by the Lord. And so my vision is that God would raise up this same pattern that's in the New Testament church, that when people go to church, it's not just it's not a spectator for sport, you know? We are really spectators as Americans today, you know, in this culture, this modern day. We watch TV, we watch the phone, we watch our tablet. You know, we are watching, we're observers, but God wants us to be doers. And so I just want to encourage all of our listeners, whatever church you go to, you know, I'm going to be conveying this to our fellowship, but I'm encouraging you that whatever church you go to, you should be asking the Lord, Lord, how can I bless the folks sitting around me? How can I bless the people in the pews around me? I want to bless them, Lord, and use me as I go to church. Not just, you know, I know there's a lot of people I've known who go to church and they say, oh, God, bless me, bless me. It's not just bless me. Yeah, you could pray bless me. But when Linda and I, often when we pray, one of the things I pray is, Lord, bless us that we might be a blessing to others. You're not going to be able to bless others if you're on a downer all the time, if you're in a bummer. It's like, oh, I'm so down. But if you're being blessed by the Lord, it certainly is easier to bless others. So I think Linda's got something there.
Well, one thing with what you're saying, with this fast-paced world that we live in, we have to remember that God is not our entertainment.
Yeah.
And so many people look at it like, oh, went to church today. It was exciting, smoke and mirrors and loud music. And we just were made to feel so good about ourselves. We were told you can do it. And, you know, that was almost as good as the movie I seen this last week. Oh, no, folks. God is not entertainment. He is our life. We are there to serve him. And do you realize when you go to church, God wants to speak to you personally.
Yeah.
He has a personal word for each and every person that sets foot in that building. If you do not get a personal word from God that day, if you're going to a Bible teaching class, Bible teaching church, there is what I say, right. I would put it on you. Is your heart open to hear what God is saying to you that day? Mm-hmm. Are you going in, I want to be used, but Lord, I want to hear from you too. I want a word directly from you, something in my life that I should be doing, shouldn't be doing. Somewhere, Lord, teach me, train me, grow me today. Right. You know, while I'm here at church, not, oh, there's my friends. I get to see them. Hi, how are you? Where are we going to go to lunch afterwards? So many people, that is church. They meet
part
their
of it.
Friends.
That's okay. Be
and
a
it
part
is
of
good.
It.
But yeah. You've got to go to hear from the Lord
That's
first.
Number one.
That's yeah. number one. After church is when you decide where you're going to lunch. Not in the middle of church when the sermon's being preached. I'm just giving tips because we love the social part with people making friends. We pray for people to bond together. They should as the body of Christ. But you've got to take that time to listen to the Lord and worship him. Mm-hmm. Like we said last week, mm-hmm. Get to heaven. You don't see them giving Bible studies. You see them worshiping continually. That's what you see. This is our chance, our small little sliver of heaven here on earth that we get to worship the Lord together.
And by the way, the reason they're not having Bible studies in heaven is because we'll know as we are known.
Yes.
We won't need Bible studies. We do need them now.
We do now, and we need to listen. So go ahead. Oh, Jim, we have Jim from Boise. I didn't realize we had a call come in. Hi, Jim. How can we help you today?
Yes. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Yes, I just wanted to thank you and Pastor Mike for your radio program. I listen to it every day, and I've been listening to it for about the past month or so. And I went on your website, and I saw a family photograph that was on the webpage, and I was very sorry to hear recently about the loss of your daughter, and
Thank you.
I am so sorry to hear about that. I know you and Mike have talked about this in recent days a little bit,
yeah.
and
We'll bring it up quite often, actually. So, but yeah, I have left that picture up there. That's our whole family. So it's kind of hard to change the picture. Even on the Look Up to Jesus page, I put a picture of me with both my girls.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, I did.
I was wondering what Jim was talking about.
If you look down the bottom,
well,
if you look at the CC Eagle page, there's the whole family picture.
Oh, how about that?
Yes.
So, Jim, how can we help you today?
Well, I just wanted to thank you and Pastor Mike for doing your radio program. Like I said, I listen to it every day. And I really, really appreciate all the things that you talk about. I really appreciate, you know, the fact that you and Pastor Mike were, you know, you kind of talked about the passing away of your daughter. Mm-hmm. And I just wish that I could get to your church in Eagle. Oh. And I'm here in Boise, but okay. Unfortunately, I don't have any wheels, so I can't get out there. So,
are you able to make it to any church, Jim?
Yes, I do attend a Christian church here in the
Good.
Downtown Boise
Good.
Area.
I was hoping you'd at least be able to get some fellowship. Because I'm tempted to just tell you about you could go to our webpage and live stream it. You certainly could do that. But number one, instead of just live streaming, it's always good to get around real people. And if you could make it, you know, do you walk the church or how do you get there?
Well, yes, I have to walk, mm-hmm. and it's a few blocks, but it's a pretty easy walk.
Okay,
so I can get there pretty easy.
Good for you.
And actually, it's a church down near the Boise High School. It's mm-hmm. an old church. It's a Christian church. It's non-denominational.
Good. Well, if they're preaching the word and you get to worship the Lord and there's loving people there, then you're set. You know, if you ever get some wheels, get to come visit us. You're welcome to. But you know, I mean, God's church is a lot bigger than people think. You know, they're all over the place. And usually there's a good church in walking distance to pretty much every Christian, at least in America, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But I've heard a lot about Calvary Chapels. I guess there's quite a bit around the area uh-huh. and down in California where
right.
you come from.
Right.
And I would really like to get to a Calvary Chapel, but there's not really any within walking distance.
No, not downtown Boise. There yeah. isn't yet. So, but you never know. Someday.
Yeah, it wasn't. Now yes. I know the Calvary Boise had like
the district
coffee house
yeah.
downtown. I'm not exactly sure how close it is to you, but they have a coffee house called the District. And then last I heard, they were having Sunday morning services there. But I think it's more of a young crowd. You know, the hipsters going at the coffee house to meet. You know, so I don't know. It just depends. You got to check it out. It's I don't know.
I would really like to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, bless you, Jim. Thank you for that call. We're encouraged. Thank
yes.
you so much. Okay.
And
God
thank you for your work.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate it.
Lord bless you, Jim. Mm. You know, you folks have no idea how special it is to us when we do get to hear from one of the listeners, even if it's just a call to say thank you and I listen. Because, you know, radio, I guess like TV, and you just don't know who's watching and how many are watching. But every now and then we'll hear from somebody who will say, I listen regularly or I listen every day or I have a truck driving route and I got the radio on and I hear you all the time. It's just good. It's encouraging to know. But to be honest with you, if all it was just me and Linda in here, I like spending time with her, so I'm okay with it.
Well, one thing I wanted to say, too, about with Jim bringing up that, you know, we have shared about the loss of our daughter, which was, gosh, it's heading close to a year and a half now, Mike. Mm. We will continue to bring that topic up. And just like yesterday's show, when we had James and Crystal on sharing their story with what we have been through, what we learned from it, you don't learn any other way. Mm. And the thing is, there's so many people going through it. We really feel one of the things for the radio we are to do here is give people that opportunity to share their grief story, because there are so many of you out there going through grief, and you need to know people survive and come out the other end, and they still serve the Lord. They don't blame God for the tragedies in their life. So those are the things we're looking for. And the reason we do it is not to make you feel sorry for us. The reason we do it is to encourage you that there's life after tragedy. There's a Christian walk after tragedy. The Lord will use your tragedy if you allow him to. So, Jim, thank you for those words.
Yeah. All right. Now, like I've told you, I've got a little bit of an agenda with notes and stuff, but if any of the callers want to call in and talk, we're open to you. Okay, now I'm going to continue on my particular vision that I think the Lord's given me for the church is, one of the things I want, the points I want to make even this Sunday is that I don't have one of these slants, even though we're a Calvary Chapel, I'm not a Calvary Chapelite. You know, it's not like, well, it's Calvary Chapel or nothing. I mean, a lot of people get like that with their denominations.
I only go to this kind of church, and I was raised, I was born this, and I'm gonna die this. And I've heard people talk like that, and even there are people who are so into what I consider corrupted church history, because they'll say, well, I'm Orthodox, or I'm Protestant, or I'm Reformed, or I'm Pentecostal. Listen, folks, the fact of the matter is all of those different sects of Christianity, there's corruption involved. You know, you could pick any one of those. You know, in the Protestant churches, there have been a lot of churches that have been good, and there's been a lot of ugly in there, too. You know, some people take pride that, well, I'm not a Catholic, I'm a Protestant, because of the Catholics, and they rag on the Catholics. Well, you know, the Protestants got some dirt, too. Some people jump on the whole thing about, I'm Reformed. You know what? There is good and bad about a lot of these different branches of Christianity, but I believe that if you study the founders of a lot of these churches, you will find imperfect men, and often you'll find men who you're shocked at what they did and what they taught in their lifetime. So look, folks, my vision, let's go all the way back to Jesus, okay? Let's go all the way back to the early church. I don't like to just say, well, we're a Calvary Chapel. We are a Calvary Chapel, and that's the style of ministry I appreciate that we, and one of the distinguishing characteristics of a Calvary Chapel is we teach through the Bible, verse by verse, book by book. We believe that worship, that when you go to church, you should worship God. And so we always want to try to have some kind of contemporary worship. We don't usually just do all hymns, but sometimes we'll mix some in there. So we want it to be a place of worship and a place where the Word of God is taught. And, you know, those are the two biggies I can think of. There's probably more, but all of these things, you jump on Reformed or Pentecostal or Orthodox or whatever, every single one of those little preferences that you might have, even if you want to have your denomination, Lutheran and Methodist, and there's good stuff, but there's bad stories in there too, particularly as it develops along the way. Sometimes it starts out good and it ends up getting more corrupt. So I believe we should stop clinging to our denominational preferences and pride ourselves in our little denominational titles. We should go back to the New Testament, back to the early church. Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church. He didn't say, and upon this rock, Calvin will build my church, or Lutheran will build Luther. You know, I believe, I appreciate all the reformers, okay? Luther, Calvin, Arminius, all those guys. I think they're all good guys in some ways, but they also all have little flaws. So listen, get back to the Bible, get back to Jesus' teaching. I believe it's important that we get back to the book of Acts. And if somebody asks you, what kind of Christian are you? You say, I'm a New Testament Christian. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I don't, you know, I really work hard at not wearing those labels, even though, like, Jim called and had a lot of things, good things to say about Calvary Chapel. He's heard good things. And
it's got its problems.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a Calvary Chapel guy, but Calvary Chapel, the longer we've moved along, we've picked up some dirt along the way, okay? Everyone has. So if you really want to have the purest church you can, keep going back, not back to the Reformation, not back to the Catholic Church, not back to the great revival, all the way back to the book of Acts. And by the way, even in the book of Acts, they had some corruption going on back then. There's always been problems in the church.
Can I read something? That,
yeah.
Because, you know, in my women's Bible study, we're doing the book of Matthew, and I have been writing the study, and I just got done doing 15. And this just fits so perfectly. So 15:1, Matthew. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And now here's Jesus' answer. "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your traditions?" How many churches get stuck in traditions that they've made up, that they're breaking the commandments that the Lord has put in the Bible? So that's what you're talking about. Yeah. It's going back to the Bible.
Right.
It's not the traditions of your church. When it's a church tradition and you can't find it in your Bible, question it, okay?
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Ask them, where did this come from? If there's some kind of tradition and you can't find that tradition in your Bible. One of the questions I wrote for my Bible study is, can you find the scripture where the Bible tells us to wash our hands before we eat? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, people can accept these things because they become traditions. Now, it's a very good habit. It's a very, very good habit to wash your hands before you eat, but it's not in the Bible. And that's what they were getting so upset about, was because they were breaking traditions, not the commands of the Lord. So, okay, what are you looking up now? I can see him going on his
computer.
Well,
I'm looking because I just realized one of my cross-references that I wanted to quote, it's, I put the wrong reference in there.
Oh, okay.
Where's the right reference?
Where's the right one?
Yeah. So one of the things I want to talk about before we run out of time here is that when we're talking about inreach, building up the body of Christ, all throughout the New Testament, there are passages in Romans and Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians 12, about what we call spiritual gifts, okay? Now, even in the church today, they're divided over which gifts are real or not really still in operation. You know what? I'm not going to get into that right now. I just want to say, find out what your spiritual gift is and use it. When you go to church ready to minister and say, God, help me use my gifts to bless your people and to bring glory to your name. I guess that's all the time we have, folks. We're going to stop here. Is it Friday already?
It's Friday.
Folks, go to church this weekend. Maybe we'll see you at Calvary Chapel Eagle. God bless.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in his wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to you.